Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life, the goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. Man, we have some cool guests come on the show. Today's a special episode, I'm going to say. We're kind of winging it. Trey, who is as much a part of the show as anyone else is, we did one episode where I interviewed you.
You interviewed me and I cried.
You did cry. Yep. You were one of three people that have cried. We need more criers.
One of the first criers.
And then one time you interviewed me, we're in the office set up here at 212 Benefits.
On your birthday.
It was.
Yeah.
We're close again, man.
I know, man.
We're gonna wane a little bit. I think it's nice to talk about the show, where it's come from. What's the point of it? What do we love about it? What's frustrating about it? Like, for anyone out there, I want to start a podcast. I want to film content. This is a grind, man.
Yeah, I mean, how many episodes are we at this point?
We just said this is 79. When will it air? I don't know. So we're close to 100.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we've discussed after filming all these is the grind that goes into it. I mean, obviously with your podcast, it's really worked out that I'm doing the video and the editing. But for any of those people out there that are trying to attempt to do this, I guess this could be a time for us to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and what we've learned so far.
The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the right, and everything in between. I know you know the intro and the outro so well now. That is a good point. So the show, I like to talk about a little bit, like, what was the point when we started this? What the health just happened? The goal was 80% healthcare content, 20% other stuff.
Did we throw that right out the window?
6 months into it, I'm like, you cannot talk about healthcare 80% of the time. It's exhausting. It can be very boring.
Sure.
I think the community, business, and life aspect, feedback from guests, that's more enjoyable. But how do you tie it to healthcare? So when we started it, 80% healthcare, out the window. You came back. When did you move back from DC?
Maybe like 2021. And I think that's when I reached out to you in regards to the show, because I was kind of watching what you and Pete, the job guy, were doing. From an Instagram standpoint, it seemed like you were already kind of onto something, but the evolution of the show probably needed to be more video centric is kind of why I think I reached out to you.
We're in a day and age where you have to put out video content.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants video. They want the clips. They want the stuff. Not my specialty.
So I would disagree with that.
I mean, again, I think I know. We'll talk about that. Like, I think I'm self-aware what I'm good at and what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
And vice versa, right? So when you came back, this is my thing. You reached out and you're like, dude, let me just bring the cameras in there.
Sure. The day you died.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that.
So we technically have, how many episodes did you say we had?
79.
We have 80.
Okay.
There's the unseen episode no one's ever seen of you dying on
Paul
camera.
Paul Sapia and Laura Nolan.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I literally passed out, had to go to the ER. Dude, I want to...
Hashtag not healthy.
Not healthy.
We will share that one day.
I think sharing the clip, you had it on video footage. I got...
It was a little scary.
It was bad.
But I think kind of the reason we wanted to do this episode was, one, just kind of give a little bit of update, but also like maybe share some insight. I mean, you were recently on a panel talking about social media. How'd that go?
Let's pause that. I do want to share about that. The show history, when you came on, as soon as you brought those cameras in, even the scary one, it's just a different vibe, right?
I think so.
Every guest, the videos changed everything, and I'm not saying this show is exploded. It has since 2 years ago, but people are more excited to come on because of you, right? You engaging in the conversation, the video stuff, but share your journey.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think our two personalities work really well, and I would suggest that, you know, we get all these... people that come on the podcast, 80 of them. And I think we kind of joke off camera. We haven't had anyone that we think has had a bad experience. Would you agree?
That is the whole point of this, right? So I have rules of the show. The biggest one is it's not about me. It should be about you.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's why this show is starting to work. And I would suggest that to anyone that's starting a podcast would be, if it is solely about yourself, it's probably not going to thrive. But we've been able to come up with a happy medium where it's, honestly, we bring in these people that specialize, and then I think we make it very comfortable for them to then just have an hour-long conversation with us. Whether it's, look, neither myself or you are idiots, but I think at the same time, we play a very, like, average Joe role that fosters an environment for people to really get comfortable with us and share the ins and outs of their business, what they're doing, what's not working. And so I think we fostered a really good environment, and I'm not trying to toot our own horns, but I think that's why this is working.
I I always say this. It is my favorite almost 2 hours of every week.
We went like 2 months without filming and
withdrawals.
Yeah, you and I were texting back and forth, literally like, hey, I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I want to see Justin. I want to get back in the studio. I think that is another reason why this thing's working is it's a buy-in from us and then fostering that environment forever comes on to make them really freaking comfortable.
Yeah, you said one of the biggest things, every guest. So what I try to do is talk to a guest prior to the episode on a phone call, Zoom call, to one's lowering their guard, explaining here's the cadence of the show, here's the point of it, here's how we distribute it amongst the podcast, YouTube, and radio. And then finding, let's say, 3 to 5 key points to focus on, but not scripted.
Yeah, I as someone that's behind the camera and also editing this podcast, that comes as a huge help. So like anyone that's out there that's starting a podcast, what Eric's describing as like getting on a phone call and talking to them beforehand will 100% help you when you go to sit down in front of the cameras with the lights on. You have a little bit of background. I think if we went in there blind every time, we might set ourselves up for a little bit more failure.
Dude, the first 6 months, it was blind. We're figuring out timing, cadence, no cameras. We got bounced around different studios at Cox Media Group. I still think you doing this with us is what changed everything. Justin's a huge part of it too. We've had a couple producers, but it's gotta be fun. The day this is no longer enjoyable, I'm out.
Yeah, I that's one thing that, you know, I know people wouldn't know this off camera, but sometimes you come to me and you're like, I gotta pay you more, da 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 da. And I'm not invested in that sense. I think I'm more invested in seeing what you're doing and also seeing the trajectory of what we're doing. I mean, this has just been more fun than anything. And I would second you, if this isn't fun, you will get a phone call from me saying, I gotta get someone else to do this. And I think that's why we're 80 episodes in. I mean, that's a full year and a half.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
like, we're almost at 100 episodes, which I do want to dive deep into people that are starting this and exploring it and what the grind looks like and how it's still a grind. But you said it, if you're not excited to come do this and I'm not excited to come do it, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, we just got done interviewing Nathan and I forget his last name. Sorry, Walter. Nathan Walter. And like, I was pumped for that because that's Armada. It's local, it's community. I actually think that's one thing I don't think you meant to do this, but you positioning yourself this podcast, particularly to be local, Northeast?
Yeah.
There's something that's pretty special about this because we're so invested in what we're talking about. First, I think if we were just talking in generalities and talking about like nationwide, we wouldn't be so pumped for it. And I actually think I don't know if he did that on purpose to just, I don't know.
It's
I don't
great.
Know. That's no, just I, how I feel about the podcast, why it works.
That's great. I love that. So look, everyone has selfish agendas.
Oh, God,
right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. How does this impact me personally? The number one thing, like I said, when this is not fun, I get so excited right now. This is out of nowhere.
Yeah, this is, but for any of you wondering, we just decided to do this.
Yeah, we filmed an episode literally 30 minutes ago. I hate the word literally, and I keep saying it. Sorry.
I say it constantly.
This is off the script but in random, but I'm just excited right off the bat.
Yeah.
So the fun thing, this selfish agenda, I think it's important to note this. This show is 100% funded by 212 Benefits.
Shout out 212.
So our company, 212 Benefits, myself, Adrian, Joey Jansen, our partners, Dan Forsell's a huge part of it. I could shout out to everyone in the business because I'm grateful for it. All this costs money, man. Paying the radio studio that airs in the radio show, employees, chopping up content. This is an expense. The selfish agenda, I love doing it, and I get to sit across the table from people I meet, learn, fall in love with, not in a creepy way, I love you, Steph, like build genuine friendships. It's changed my life from a relationship building standpoint. And then I'm lying if it doesn't drive business to 212. By the way, if you have employee benefits for a small to medium sized business, call 212 Benefits.
Sure. And if you need video services, you can call Lowell Productions.
Yeah. Same thing. So this show has directly and indirectly helped you professionally.
Oh, hey, I am forever. This is one thing I will say that's been so exciting about the evolution of this show is that, of course, I went all in from the beginning with you money wasn't the particular strategy. But the thing that's, and I, it's a testimonial to what you guys are doing, what I'm doing, and just the community as a whole, would be that you introduced me to Dr. Korn. Dr. Korn's now
Shout
one of my,
out.
Yeah, Korn, MedEvidence, let's go. I mean, one of my biggest clients, literally because you happened to bring him on the show, we all hit it off, and it was like, hey, could you do this for me? So, yeah, I mean, this has just been a win-win for myself, I think for you guys in 212. It's funny, I mean, even Joey loves just sitting in on some of the episodes.
Oh, he loves just, coming, man. You know, he's bitter he's not here right now, by the way.
And what? Here's one thing I really like when Joey joins the show is that I know you're an expert on this, but I think Joey would probably be the true expert. Would you?
In our industry?
In the health benefits industry.
Oh, I love talking about this. If you look at 212 Benefits, right? So we have 19 employees total, like any company. You have leadership, people growing within the business. I am a firefighter and nurse by trade and at heart, and I call myself a self-proclaimed entrepreneur. If people have very specific insurance or benefit questions, I'm not the guy to answer it.
Yeah.
Joey is an industry expert amongst, you know, again, most of our employees. And then you got Adrian, Joey's wife, who is
shout out
to Adrian, yeah, of course, very structured, process oriented. She hates when I call her the mom of the business, but like, could you imagine working with just you and me and Joey and not having someone like Adrian?
It'd be a little chaotic, I think. I mean, Adrian actually writes my checks, kind of keeps me in line. And then, I mean, on top of this, people don't know this, but like my sister-in-law works for you guys.
Yeah.
So not only did I have a good experience from the show side, what I saw with 212 and what you guys are doing and the environment you were creating, it literally made me want my sister-in-law to work with you guys, and now she does, which has been fantastic.
We talked too about Northeast Florida. So I do love when we have guests from out of this area either come in town. We're talking about doing some traveling this year.
Yeah, buddy,
love to
Texas.
Go. Yeah, we're looking at Texas, Atlanta, DC would be great. That's the big one I want to figure out, but timing's going to be interesting. But it is very focused on Northeast Florida, which you're back here. Your family's back here. Like how important is this community in your life from this moment forward?
Yeah, and this community, people, anyone listening, if you live in the Jacksonville area, we're spoiled. And it might be hard to realize that if you've never lived here. I think I've talked to you about this. Going up to DC, great experience, changed my life. Coming back here, raising a family, you know, all that.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to do it anywhere else.
Healthy.
Beyond, double hashtag healthy.
Double hashtag. Right, we always talk about if you look at stages of life. If you're young, wanting to grind and just make money, live the nightlife, all those things. I grew up in South Florida. Yeah. I have no desire to live in South Florida. That's me in the stage of life I'm in.
Sure.
DC, whether you're politically, financially driven and motivated, it's just now with children, everything changes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think, again, I love this area. I compliment Northeast Florida all the time.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I've found that's been unique too about the show, and I want to plug as many of our guests as possible,
would be
the guest. And so whether it was Dr. Korn, whether it was, it's Judy, right?
Judith Abbey.
Judith.
Yeah. Dr. Judith Abbey, shout out.
The weather lady. Remember when we had her?
Oh, yeah.
Gracie Simmendinger, JSK Marketing. Like, we could go down the list. Every time we interview these people, it reinsures me even more, like, how many people in this area are all in on this area.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's pretty powerful, because I'm not saying I didn't experience this where I came from, but now being in the kind of equation with you guys, I get to kind of just hear all the good about Jax. Of course we hear some of the bad.
There's plenty of trash.
But
find me a neighborhood or city or somewhere that doesn't have some
but
negative.
But a good example of like some things going on in Jax would be like Telescope Health.
Oh, yeah. They're great guests, right?
Yeah.
Paul Sapia, Aaron
Not even guests, what they're trying to do
Dr.
for the
Thompson.
Community.
Yep.
Providing the medical insurance for people that don't actually have medical insurance.
And good plug for them. If you do not have health insurance, they have created a program with the city of Jacksonville that gives you access to care to navigate healthcare.
Yeah.
To really decrease hospital admissions, et cetera.
The other thing from the show that has just been so inspiring is like how many people are innovators and doing new things in the Jacksonville area. Even with like Chang Robotics, even MedEvidence, I know I keep shouting them out, but like what Dr. Korn is doing over there, experimenting with things, running trials.
Yep.
Before the show, I didn't realize any of this even existed in our area, if I'm being honest.
Again, selfish agenda. I love sitting across what's out there. What do I not know about hearing these stories?
Yeah.
I love doing it.
I mean,
Chang Robotics is good too. We got to get them back.
Dude,
on.
UF Health with all the Night for Heroes stuff.
Summer Vine.
It's pretty impressive what the Jacksonville community is up to. I did not realize that when I actually used to live here. Now, obviously, different phase of life. 15 years ago? 20 years ago?
Let's not do math on that.
But yeah, man. And it just goes back to a show like this. We're finding success because we're highlighting what's going on in the community. And I think people are interested in that. And I'd actually, for anyone that's listened to on the radio, I'd love to know where they're coming from. Are they in the Jacksonville area or are they not? That's one thing we've never addressed.
When we started this, this goes back to the history of the show. This is a radio show first. That's the funny part. I do want to talk about podcasts and they pop up. I get it. Who has time to listen? Where do you find the time? It's a radio show first, so it is very local. It airs 7 p.m. 104.5 WOKV. Cox Media Group money to use the studio. I have access to Justin. If I had to guess, because you can't track, who listens to the radio at 7 p.m. on a Saturday?
You know, I have tried to figure this out. We're 80 episodes in, and I listen to, I've probably listened to maybe 10 on the radio. So I'm still trying to figure out who's listening. I do hope it's locals, but I actually think
it has to be. It's only aired locally.
I think it's actually aired nationally, or maybe it's not. Either way, regardless, I think the conversations that are being had, I mean, you see the wait list for people to get on this thing. There's something that's working.
I think it's the fun. I go back to the fun.
Yeah, I mean, anyone listening, if you are not having fun on your show, it will not succeed.
Shut it down.
Period.
Shut it down. So go back to the radio show, and I think we, self-critiquing, we don't leverage Cox Media Group enough, but I love, we roll in there, we have free reign. Justin, obviously, I love. Jay Bowes, I miss you, brother. We're not leveraging them for dispersing content. But 7 p.m. on a Saturday, we average between 2,000 and 3,000 listeners a week.
Which surprises me every time.
Every time I see the report, I'm like, wait, what? But genuinely thinking about it, it has to be 55 and older, other than friends and family that are sharing it with them. Like a guest is like, hey, it's airing now, which I love when guests say, I'm listening live. This is great.
Yeah.
That's what's the highlight is when people text me before, during, or after. It makes me so happy. But the audience on the radio show has to be 55 and older. I'm guessing predominantly male because it is a conservative talk.
Shout out, fellas.
Yep. again, we don't track that. And then the podcast, what do we got here? And tell me if I'm talking too much. I feel like I'm yapping
over
here. I don't
think so at all.
The podcast, which, what does it say? Podcasts are like a-holes, right? Everyone has one and most of them
stink.
They all
stink, yeah.
We don't track that. I don't know how many subscribers we have. Last we looked, I think was at 25 or 3,000. That's, you can't average listen time geographically. Where is it aired? Maybe we can improve that. But again, that's stuff that I don't care about.
Well, I think that goes back to your philosophy and you say it a lot. If you could just affect one person or one person will listen, that's all that matters. And I actually think that's where most people go wrong with their podcasts is they're trying to broadcast to too many people. Instead of kind of niching down on what they're best at.
This is a couple companies ago, right? So every person has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters. I love that 100%. Line. It's not mine. I think it's so relevant. But if one person hears an episode and it impacts them in any capacity, whether they smile, whether they say, man, I could use this service, that's a win.
Totally. Absolutely.
I do think, right, you talk about election season. Every nominee was rotating popular podcast show. That's where we're at. There's more people listening to this than ever. And anyone starting it, you're not Joe Rogan. I'm not Joe.
Yeah.
What was the guy you and Nathan mentioned earlier?
Oh, Sean Ryan.
Sean Ryan. I love Busting with the Boys. These are all dude shows.
But there's female podcasts that are just exploding.
There's a ton of murder mysteries. But I think anyone who's considering this, be realistic. You're not going to start this and make a ton of money. If anything, you're going to burn a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll burn money and a lot of time. I mean, do you want to give the audience a little bit of insight into like the process of booking and things like that? I mean, just to give them a sense of like you said, everyone starts a podcast and it's like, oh, I'm just going to start talking. And it's like, well, what are you going to talk about and who are your guests going to be? And I've kind of seen it in real time. You have to do that and the amount of time commitment it takes, probably almost as much as it takes me to edit an episode. Yeah.
So if you look at multiple things that contribute to it, it was a radio show first. So we typically record on Wednesday afternoons at Cox Media. It's not live. That's the funny part. This is live. This ain't live.
Nope.
We do have a rule, no edits though. We record Wednesday at 3:30 or 4. It airs on the radio Saturdays at 7. Then we try to kick out the podcast the following week. Mm-hmm. So just scheduling, you have to find engaging, charismatic, fun, relevant guests. What's their schedule look like? I can't do Wednesdays, right? Scheduling is, it's not easy. And no. Who's a good guest? Because I'll be honest, there's people that reach out that I have to be like, I don't know if you should join this.
Sure.
Scheduling with Trey. So if we travel, can you do this? Can you come on? Like who's available when? That's a whole different thing. I like live in person. I refuse to do remote guests.
Oh, we've never done one remote.
But maybe, am I missing something? I don't.
I think the intimacy side, so I'm not going to say the client that I have, but they do a lot of virtual interviews. And it's not that they're bad by any sake, but I will say that the group consensus is 100% anything in person's better. I mean, whether it's body language, whether it's emotions, everything flows a little bit better when you're sitting across looking someone face to face.
So what the scheduling, tough. Then the conversation, I like to have a prep call, right, to figure stuff out. Then you're in there setting all this incredible gear up. Then you have to edit on the back. Like it's another job.
But it's fun.
Correct.
That's, I would not, the one thing, I'm going to look dead at the camera, like I'm all in on this because of how much fun it is. And so I would never change. Yeah.
I'm looking at the camera too. I'm all in on this because I love it. It is fun. I laugh. I learn. I get to hang out with like close friends.
And I think there's some testimonies that I hear around the office or around the city when we bump into people that they're having fun with us as well. And I think
we're doing more things right than we are wrong. And that's life, right? Yeah. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's great. But if you're doing more things right than you are wrong, then that's a win.
I also think that it's being all in on it. And we've kept our pace.
Yep.
We've kept everything steady, Freddy. There's no guessing. We just keep moving forward.
Momentum matters. 100%. That's another big one. I was talking to Nathan about this after he got done. Like the Armada. When you have all this momentum, and if something, you get a speed bump or a car wreck, insert whatever metaphor you want, if it stops, you get back, like you got to build that momentum up.
Hell yeah, so you got to keep going, man, pushing through. Yep. But yeah, man, a year and a half into this, incredible, unique experience, and I've been forever grateful for it because I know we don't have too much time, but like my history is filming and editing podcasts, and little did I know when I moved back here years ago that I would take a skill set that I absolutely hated, didn't want to do, but then I would bring it to Florida, and it would be such a unique, different experience.
I think
because... Seriously, I did exactly this for someone else for a lot of money, and I don't think I ever had this much fun.
Yep, it's different. And I think second half, too, like what doors can this open and opportunities it creates? Because like I like talking about the business stuff, too. I think we say it all the time, money matters, right? How do you earn money and not burn too much of it, but still find that joy, fun, excitement?
I think and I'll sum it up super quick. I think we find the joy and excitement in highlighting others.
Yeah.
And that's why it's working.
For sure.
Yeah.
Man, I love random episodes.
Yeah, Trey. This is totally random.
All day Trey.
All day I love Trey. Ridiculous Let's go. Names.
All day Trey and Hot Sauce Ross. Yeah. That's what the hell just happened. All right. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you're catching this on the radio show, you probably turned it off and aren't listening to the second half. Just kidding. If you're catching this on the podcast, no commercials. Doesn't matter. Special episode randomly with the co-host. I used to call you the camera guy.
I have upgraded.
Oh my gosh. This is what I would say a friend for years, but more and more of a friendship is building. Trey, who is a staple of this show.
I hope so. Maybe.
I think so. The cameras, dude, again, the cameras, I love when you chime in. We talked about a lot of the history of the show, what's changed, a lot of shout outs to past guests. I think we'll dabble a little bit what we think works, what we could change and improve, and then let's just go off like healthy or not healthy could get real ugly.
I want healthy or not healthy.
You want to start there?
Of course.
Healthy or not healthy smoking weed?
Oh, man. I just think don't start that young. That would be my only thing. So I'm not going to say healthy or not healthy.
What age? What's too young?
Below 25.
Okay, so at 25.
Heavily smoking.
What's heavily? Every day?
Yeah.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy drinking booze?
I do it a lot, and it is not healthy at all.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven.
I was going to say, there's more and more research coming out about how bad alcohol is for you. We all know that, right? Have a bender of a night, wake up the next morning. Who wakes up and says, oh, that was healthy? I don't know if you know this. Alcohol sales are just drowning.
It's because of her generation.
Well, they drink less. By the way,
Megan's in the corner, I just threw Megan right into it. Shout out.
It's alcohol is changing a lot. I think it's because of the legalization of marijuana, the access to it. I'll talk about mushrooms, other drugs. Like, alcohol consumption goes down and down and down because the generation, two generations below us.
You think it's because of cost of booze? Because when you and I used to drink, it was a little bit cheaper too.
It was like $7 for a 12-pack of Bud Light.
That's pretty reasonable.
Light. Yeah. Whereas, now it's, I don't know what it cost.
Wink,
it's like
wink.
$15.
Come on, more healthy or
we're
not
going
healthy.
Off the rails on this one.
Yeah, healthy or not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy newborn children.
The healthiest. I've got three and a fourth on the way. It's terrifying, but it's incredible experience at the same time.
I'm going to have to change that question. It is healthy. Oh. There is nothing that changes. Everyone tells you, you don't know till you have kids. Do you remember hearing that?
A little bit.
I heard it all the time. I'm like, shut the hell up. You don't know anything about me. But you don't until that kid comes. What I'm going to say is unhealthy. Newborn children, the first 6 to 8 months as a parent is not healthy.
Well, can I give a shout out to my wife?
Of course you
my
can.
My wife is obsessed with the newborn phase. So in a weird way, it's actually easier than as they get older. They're a little bit more routine kind of-ish.
Let's do shout outs to wives. Like, same thing. My wife, if it wasn't for my wife, I'm pretty sure I'd be homeless living under a bridge. Well, maybe close to that.
But
for the parenting component, like I would say I'm a good dad. I would say you're a good dad. But if it wasn't for the wives and the moms,
yeah, bad
disaster.
Dad. Yeah.
Disaster. I just think about the sleepless nights, the sickness, the first time they get sick, then you get sick. It's tough. It's a grind.
Yeah. In the beginning, everything's a little crazy, out of control. But you have three kids. I have three kids right now. And you kind of get used to it.
Yeah. I love the madness.
I can't say I love the madness.
Some of the madness.
But I've figured it out, at least in regards to getting through it somewhat. But
I should mention, we're recording this on a Wednesday, and in Jacksonville, it's gross out. It's freezing cold. It's raining.
We didn't get any freaking snow either.
I know. Everyone wanted to see it snow, so school was canceled. When we're recording this, school was canceled.
Get to work. We're working.
I should have brought my kids today. My middle son loves,
you know what's
seeing all
funny? My wife literally asked if I could bring my oldest, and I said, no, buddy, you're not going to be quiet enough.
We messed up.
Yeah.
Well, then they can chime in too. Okay, rein it in, guys. Back to what the health just happened. Although, you get any more healthy or not healthies?
Healthy or not healthy, the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Short-term, not healthy.
Agree.
Let me elaborate. So the next 3 to 4 years are going to, we are not healthy right now. The fan base is always loyal. I don't know if I love the ownership anymore, right? Especially I just think it's a mess. I think the GM's a mess. Until that construction on the stadium is done, it's just going to get worse and worse. No coaches want to come here. No players want to come here. The guys going in the draft are crossing their fingers they don't get drafted. Now, post long term, I do believe when the stadium's done, that should change things significantly.
Agree. And in the meantime, are we just going to become massive Armada fans?
I'll be a big Armada fan. I'll go to the Jumbo Shrimp, the Iceman, like all the local teams for sure.
It's a little discouraging because I feel like there's potential there. You and I, we've been along for the ride, but it's a little frustrating at this point.
It's exhausting. I would consider myself a diehard Jags fan, and it's like, you know what Stockholm Syndrome is? Do you know what that is?
I do, but I can't divine it.
So if someone, let's say Eric gets kidnapped by whatever it is. The kidnappee gets obsessed with who kidnaps them. They fall in love with them. Like a lot of times people who are kidnapped, it's called Stockholm Syndrome. That's a very dumbed down version. Jag's fan, I feel like I have Stockholm Syndrome. Like I'm being physically and mentally abused by my lover or my kidnappee, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I just love them more and more.
Well, because not healthy. Because occasionally they give us a little bit of what we want, and then it disappears.
We said just win, man. Yeah, just win.
Just win.
We could, you and I will disagree on things too about the Jaguars. I think it's very incredible to have one of 32 teams in 32 cities in the United States. That's a big deal. You're talking about billions of dollars. But holy crap, it's exhausting.
Yeah, I, in a weird way, I'm very grateful for that Jags that are here, or the Jags being here, but at the same time, like, you know, if you're not winning, you're not helping as much as you actually think.
We had talked about 212 Benefits earlier, who funds this show and supports all of it. We had season tickets the last 2 years, 6 tickets, where we would bring family, clients, if we weren't going. I didn't even want to go to the games this year. After 2 or 3 games, we couldn't, the last 2 home games, we could not give them away. We could not find people who were like,
yeah. You
didn't
call me?
I thought I might have once or twice.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's on me. Okay. Back to, let's talk more about what the hell just happened. Because totally. I love this. It is not making us money other than driving business to 212, clients for you. Like, this is an expenditure.
Mm-hmm. But a write-off? Could it be a write-off?
I mean, technically everything...
That's true.
You own and run a business. It is a business expense. You don't, how do you define it? We're not writing it off.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going on vacation for what the hell just happened.
I don't know.
Yeah.
but what, like the benefits of it, and this is, we talked about this, for people who are starting a show, you need to understand the pain points, the difficulties, because this is adding another job. And you are not going to make money from this early on.
Yeah, do we want to talk about like some pathways to success for a podcast? Because I know off camera we've discussed this of like the dynamic that could possibly result in a successful podcast.
I think the most important thing is like, what is your definition of success? Because if your definition of success is to make $500K to $1 million based off of a podcast show, pack your bags and shut it down.
Well, and that's the one thing I think you have an advantage of, was we never showed up from the get-go with money in mind. Would you agree?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Which definitely lowers the barrier to entry. One thing I will say that, you know, when we listen and watch and consume other people's podcasts would be, for the most part, most people are just not fun. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about it in the beginning, but I would just say I film and edit a couple of other podcasts in town, and one path for success for them would be have a pro and a Joe, have someone that's very experienced, and then someone that's kind of there to be the questionnaire person or someone that can just bring it down a little bit. And I think that's one way you've really done well with What the Health.
How do you take a complicated topic, and I don't want to say dumb it down, but make it enjoyable and understandable to more people? And you still go like in the weeds, complicated stuff, but sure. I like that. A pro and a Joe. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, particularly like in the healthcare space, you guys use a lot of, what is it, acronyms. You guys are firing off a bunch of stuff. And I think one thing that What the Health has been able to do, at least for the listeners and the people that kind of watch and tune in, would be for everything that goes really highbrow, there's usually myself or Justin, or even a lot of cases where you're like this hybrid. You're like a pro and a Joe because of the nurse background. Yeah. I think that's been one thing that really helps with the show. When people ask, why is it working for Eric? And I say, well, because he's able to float in both spaces.
If it's healthcare related, right? You have all these acronyms. It's confusing, all this stuff. How do you turn the volume down so that more people understand? I'll use politics for an example. If we did a show on politics, you would be the expert. And I would be sitting there like eyes crossed. Huh? And that's a good dynamic to have.
Sure. No, I 100% agree with that. I wouldn't consider myself an expert. I think it's just because of the situations I'd be put in, I'm a little bit more informed on some of the things that are going on. But yeah, I would second that. It works well when you have someone that's a little bit diverse in both.
It's not a topic change. So since we've done this, I would say that the show is up and to the right? It's growing in the right direction. What's success? What's not? The number of people that reach out to me directly or indirectly asking, hey, I want to pick your brain. Hey, I want to ask. That is a definition of success. They want to know about this and what we're doing, because clearly something is working where it has piqued their interest. And I try to have those conversations as much as possible. I think there is an opportunity right now where you, like, I think you and I could start a company tomorrow, get a building similar to this and have two or three studios where you just turn and burn. You could have seven podcasts that run out of it, come in, flip it on, and they run their own show. Is it a sustainable business model? I don't know, but like that's where we're at in 2025 is podcast. It's actually exhausting, honestly.
I am going to kind of go up against that. I think, yes, you could create a business that would do that. My issue would be for all those people that come in and out of there and use our services, 90% of them would fail because they're either overthinking it or they're just no fun. Just being honest. And I'd love to make money in that way. I think it'd be a great business model, but I think it's very hard.
There's statistics out there. It's something like 95% of podcasts. And let me remind you, this is a radio show first. I love saying that. 95% of podcasts fail within the first year.
Have we failed yet?
Again, how do you define failure?
I know, we don't even have a bar for that.
Well, what's the measuring stick? When I mean fail, they shut it down because you don't realize the time and effort that goes into this. We have Megan sitting over here, not on camera, but like we hired her to help with this stuff, posting the content, all this stuff. It's a grind, man. And you got to enjoy it and really define what do I want from this to work. And I'm telling you over and over, if it's like, I'm going to get sponsored by this company, that, and I'm going to be the next insert famous podcast, like you're wasting your time, I think.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I think this is just my philosophy and probably even your philosophy in business. We're not here necessarily for the money. And if that's what you're in it for, you're probably going to fall on your face.
And guess who else knows that? Guests.
Yeah.
Every guest that comes on, if I'm like, I did ask Nathan about introductions and talk about business stuff off the record, but if you're on here just looking to fatten these pockets,
yeah,
everybody knows it. Person sitting across that table, they know it. They feel it.
Yeah. One thing I was going to ask you about is when it comes to this podcast, you know, we have ventured to Orlando where we interviewed Josh Martin and Martin
Josh
Aquatic.
Martin Aquatic and Fred Turner from Curative, both great episodes.
Actually, I'm glad you brought up Fred. Could you like elaborate a little bit on like that was probably, would you say that was one of our biggest interviews of the year in 2024?
In this specific industry, so employee benefits and health insurance, it is without question. We had two other people that are well-known in our space. So Curative is a very unique product. And again, I can put these in the show notes, but Fred is a savant, right?
And he's younger than I and worth a gazillion bucks. He's so smart.
But I would compare, I don't like saying like Elon Musk mine, and again, he's controversial.
So I could see that.
This guy is late 20s, worth a lot of money, which some people's metric, but the way that his brain works is just different. And
could
sitting
you
in that
explain
room,
their service?
So it's no deductibles, no copay, no really. So if you do—
All for businesses, correct? Not for individuals.
You cannot do individual stuff with them. So in our world, insurance, employee benefits— which, good God, I don't even like talking about it. Our company 212, which is what we do and what pays my bills, woof. Curative is trying to create a product for businesses. The biggest thing is no deductibles, no copays, no really. Mm-hmm. So how does the money flow? How does it work? It's very different, very unique, and it is growing quickly. But guess who doesn't like it?
Who? Florida Blue?
The billion/trillion-dollar industry that have controlled the market for 30-plus years. Blues, United, Cygnus, Aetna, because it's different.
They're disrupting.
And for companies, when you explore this option, you have to look at it, but it's different. And you'll notice that what hospitals take it. But I would say your original question, yes, that is the most well-known. I enjoyed it. Incredible. But then we followed it up with Martin Aquatic that was also...
Yeah, that was like a double whammy because not only did we get to sit down with like a borderline genius for, I don't know,
it's
an hour.
It's not borderline. That dude is a straight up genius.
I couldn't believe how young he was. And then, Martin Aquatic, that was the double whammy because even what Josh and them are doing at Martin Aquatic is pretty impressive. And once again, hey, another area yes. where I got to go down and film their end of the year video for them, which was fantastic, where they did the hot ones in their hot sauce box.
Again, we love shout outs. Martin Aquatic, what they do, so they build these every cruise line ship. I think it's Royal Caribbean. Do you remember which line it
Dude,
was?
They are linked up with everyone.
Every cool cruise ship that has like crazy water slides and all the water stuff on a cruise ship, they're doing. These unique wave pools, like any giant water structure, mm-hmm. their company's designing.
Is it Blue Mar Basins?
Blue Mar Basins.
That was, yeah, sick hats.
This is a good, yeah. So Josh Martin, again, that whole company, if you they're just cool, right?
Yeah.
But what excites me is from this show, we talk about what's a win for everyone. If we get business from 212, cool. Having clients on, they're a client of ours, we do their benefits. It's just fun. But when you call me like, yo, so-and-so called and they want me to record stuff, that gets me so excited, man.
I've got to be honest with you. That. Those guys went all in on their end of year video and branding packages that they did. Did you get the hot sauce?
Oh, yeah. It's
container?
In there, dude.
Yeah.
The kit, the package.
Very impressed. And that's like what was unique about them was seeing a business go all in on their clients where it was like, look,
it's every
we're
year.
Willing to spend this time and effort oh. to send this to like 20 or 30 people. But like, I guarantee you, whoever scanned that QR code and got that box was blown away.
It was they do something like that every year. They do these really
oh, I
unique
know, yeah.
packages, and this is Josh is a big part of that, man. Josh oh, is another know. One that just.
I was a little Josh. Intimidated working for him because I was like, if this guy does these tiki things and these boxes yeah. like this, I got to get this flawless.
The hot ones too. So I talked to him. We're gonna go back there this year, you and I, and do some more fun stuff.
Let's
there.
Do some hot ones.
I'm not a, it's funny. My nickname, people call me Hot Sauce Ross.
I don't like anything hot.
I don't like hot stuff. No?
No way. Mess
it's just
my
like,
stomach.
What's the point? I don't want to sweat and cry when I'm eating food. Not healthy.
Yeah.
Again, you think back in time, we're naming guests naturally that just, it's just, that's it. Anyone listening to this,
hey,
that's doing this.
Let's talk about one of the guests, and I'm actually going to be completely transparent. Dr. Corn. Met Evidence.
Yes.
You
oh,
literally surprised the shit out of us because you came in on a rainy day. You needed to go get the rain and get all done up. We thought that was going to be a pathway for disaster. And
I do want to tell that story. I don't even care if we run over time.
Yeah,
we'll keep recording after the radio show ends. So you look back on guests. I love when someone comes in, you could tell if they're nervous or excited or where they're at. By the end, every guest, like the biggest compliment is like, wow, that's the most fun I've ever had doing something like this. That makes me
Dude,
so happy.
UNF. Dude, the lady, the list, she had such a good time and she was so nervous.
The list
she
goes
did fantastic.
On and on and on. And then after a guest leaves, immediately, within a week, they're texting or emailing, I want you to meet X, Y, and Z person. So it's opening doors. And then, of course, I love when people text me randomly like, is this healthy or not healthy?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But I do want to tell the Dr. Corn story. It was so funny. So I got an email from their team. This is a local company, Encores. They do medical research. Med Evidence is a show that he does that now you're filming.
Shout out.
Super smart. They send me this guy. Hey, this is Dr. Michael Corrin. Here's his bio. He wants to come on the show. Or like, could he come on the show? I read his bio and it's like Harvard graduate. I can't even remember the schools
Cornell,
he went to.
He
like
went to everything.
All the things where I'm like, why the hell does this guy want to come on this show and talk? And then I talked to their company, which you work closely with now too. Shout out to
yeah. Sharon Brennan. Shout yeah. out.
Sharon and Brennan. We talked to them. They were enthusiastic. So it's raining outside. Dr. Corn comes in with a jacket on, covered in rain, and looks at us as like, oh, this is on camera. I'm like, we've told your team this three or four times.
Yeah.
So he was like, I got to go fix myself in the bathroom. He walks out. I like telling the story. He walks out and Trey and I look at each other and Justin and they're like, oh man, this is going to be a dud. This guy's going to be uptight. This is going to be miserable. Like, do we not say that?
No, 100% accurate. I'm not denying any of this.
He comes
I tell
back,
them to his face.
He comes back in, and someone says something about dad jokes. So I told a joke, like a dad joke, and then he starts firing off the funniest dad jokes, inappropriate jokes, things like, we cannot air this on air.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, it's like, this is going to be a blast. And he was so good.
Yeah, no, I think he's in a weird way, like grateful for that episode that we all crossed paths because
yeah.
of that. Because in a few weeks, we're going to be actually working with him on a whole different project.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that like our podcast would turn into
that's,
you know, someone else actually asking for a service in a whole different like space yeah, we're that doing, we're not well, used to.
It's next week. We're recording an episode of some of their patients and people who have gone through their program yeah. interviewing them. It's just that's, we talk about wins. Like, how do you measure a win? That's a win. It opens doors. You
meet
people. That's
someone that saw what you were doing, liked what we were doing, and said, hey, we would like you to do that for us.
Yeah.
Which is pretty unique because I never expected that to come out of what we're doing.
That's a win. That's healthy.
Yeah. Shout out Dr. Korn. Love you, man.
Yes.
Also, hey, your Aston Martin is badass. He's got a badass Aston Martin.
He does.
Yeah. Convertible white. It actually has a red top. Sorry, not the biggest fan, but it's sick. It's sick. And he drives a badass Mercedes SUV, too.
I'm not a car guy, man. Which reminds, by the way, Justin, you got to edit. We've dropped the S-bomb and the A-bomb a couple times. But
I'll edit them out. Sorry, Justin.
I think we'll be all right. So, man, dang it, dude. These are my less favorite than five. Ones. Let's look this year, like 3 years, 5 years. Like what can we do? Who are we missing we want to get on? I'll tell you big names I want to get on.
Oh, I'll tell you.
That we're getting close. Like the Tim Tebow Foundation, right? There's some relationships and ties there.
Shout out.
Tom Coughlin Foundation. These are healthcare correlated companies.
We need some Tom Coughlin back in the Jags. Some tough love, hard. Sorry.
No, I love.
Went on a rant.
Big potential guests. Everyone loves ex-athletes, but like where does this show go in the next year, 3, 5 years?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think the evolution of the show is more of what you guys have already seen. I think it just becomes this weird, unique show where we're just telling stories about life. And it's business-driven, it's healthcare-driven, health benefits, what you guys do. But I think it's just more about the Jacksonville community, and the proof is already in the pudding. It's already working. Yeah. I just think you stay on course, and we do more shows. So if we're at 80 now,
which is crazy.
Expect in the next year, probably more like 150. Because I could see a situation where like
we'll do
when
more
we go to
week.
Dallas, yep. You know, we're doing special inclusive little episodes where, you know, if anyone's listening on the radio, yes, you can consume us via the radio. But what you'll come to find is like if you want to get some longer versions where it's not 48 minutes, yep. You want 2 hours, you go to the YouTube channel and you consume that. Or you go to iTunes and you consume it in that manner. That's what I think ends up what happens.
This makes me weird too. I'm watching this clock here.
I hate the clock.
I don't like planning or thinking or like I just like whatever happens.
Well, why? Hey, your however philosophy this works is whatever your plan is, crumble it up, throw it out the window.
Yeah, literally.
Hey,
write down your
best
list.
Advice. I know she's probably looking at us like, "What the hell are you talking about?" But like, that's how my life has worked out to where I'm at. I had no like I had a plan that I thought I wanted to do. Had I gone with that, I don't know if I'd be as happy in doing this kind of stuff.
Every human, the percentage of people that plan their whole life out and it goes that way is so small. And people understanding, especially not to point out your age, like you could write down all these plans and everything you want to do, and the chances are you're going to set that on fire or crumble it up and throw it out. Mm-hmm. And that's just mine is whatever happens. And you still have to work and show up and all those things, but most of the things in my life just kind of happened from doing this.
I'll end it on this, or at least what I'm going to say. But like the very last time you interviewed me, I gave some testimony about like if I had not just been willing to do whatever came my way, I wouldn't end up across the chair from you. And I would just say that to anyone else is like just be open to what life presents you rather than staying your course. I don't want to hate on anybody, but everyone that I meet that really is on their plan, their agenda, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, understood. All day Trey, hot sauce Ross. I'm going to start saying that. That's so cheesy. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what the hell just happened.